Lord, for the many blessings that you have bestowed on us here in Faulkner County. We just thank you for watching over us and guiding us. I ask, Lord, that you would be with our county employees and that you would protect them and strengthen them. And we're appreciative of them. And we know, Lord, that we have some that have been afflicted with the COVID virus. We just ask, Lord, that you would give them strength and their families and that you would watch over them. I ask, Lord, that you would be with my colleagues tonight here in the courtroom, that you would give them wisdom and bless them in grace. Forgive us where we fail you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I ask the veterans to stand. Would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Here.
Boyer.
Present.
Cates.
Here.
Good.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Houston.
Here.
Kendricks.
Here.
Lahosky.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland.
Here.
Schock.
Here.
Thank you all for being here. First item, need to move is approval of the journal under tab 1. What is your pleasure?
Second motion, we approve the journal.
Second. Motion been made and second for approval of the journal. Any questions or discussion on, I'll save the minutes, but anyway. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? County officers report, turn to tab 2. Scott, would you lead off?
Thank you, Judge. If you'll turn with me to tab 2, summary of statements for forum court. County general fund $1,003,006,927.93. County road fund $2,004,355,720.51. County road sales tax, fund 3402, $1,552,477.81. Animal welfare and control, fund 3404, $1,666,215.74. Criminal justice sales tax, fund 3407, $939,410.49. I apologize. Flip with me to page 2. These are county general revenues. We're slightly above where we were last year, which through this mess is awesome at this point. Flip me to the next page. This is the sales tax revenue. Sales tax revenue for July, $892,408.21. We're 59% of projected revenue through July. And if you flip them one more time, July versus month-to-month was 13.04%. We talked about last time we met as a full committee. We're 7.2% above where we were at this time last year. And one more flip. The chart indicates the great month we had in sales tax, where the three-month moving average has come back above the one-year moving average, and the one-year moving average has turned up in an upward trend. Are there any questions? If you look to the page past there, it's something we talked about in, I'm not going to go over it, but it's there for you to look at. We talked about it in Budget Finance Committee. We've broken down the city jail fines and jail and county jail fines, and we're going to work on some new revenue codes to better indicate those at the treasurer level, and also go back and get you more years of data on that, 19 and 18, possibly 17. It's just, it's going to take a little bit of time. So. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have on any of that.
This is what we're bringing in on a monthly basis from those funds, is that correct?
That is what has been brought in through, I believe, July. Yes, that was through July.
Okay.
Zach, what we have to do on those right now, because they're coming in under one revenue code, we're having to go back to the reports that are being sent by district courts and look to see how they've broken them out. We'll have to do that for 18 and 19, so it's going to take a little bit of time to get it done. But we're in the process of changing some revenue codes, so going forward, you'll be able to see those in FI.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Judge.
Margaret, do you have anything to...
No, Your Honor. My report is in the book. If anyone has any questions, I'll be glad to answer them the best I can.
Other county official reports.
Judge, you say other reports?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
July 21st. I'm sorry about the mask, too. But, I'm sorry about my mask, in other words.
Okay.
Speak loud.
July 2020, our detention average headcount at Unit 1, our capacity is 118. We're at 102. Average headcount at Unit 2. And our male capacity is 218, we have 37. Average headcount of females, our capacity is 88, we're at 40. Average headcount of juveniles is 16, and we have 6. We took in 244 inmates, we've released 207. Total numbers of calls to dispatch was 2,581. Total numbers of calls to Faulkner County Sheriff's Office, 2,024. The average number of calls for service per deputy is 81. The number of violent crimes and domestics is 84. Number of thefts and criminal mischief was 95. Animal calls, we took 61. We wrote 21 animal citations and 2 animal warnings. Criminal investigation, we opened 75 cases. We closed 28. And in our transport, the total trips was 92 for 97.25 hours. Total miles was 4,024. Total cost was $3,670 and some change.
Do I have any questions? Sheriff's report. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Any other reports? Folks, I'll stop right now. Crystal Taylor was recognized by the state of Arkansas for the job she does in her office, and all of us recognized statewide as the last report. Crystal, can you hear?
Yes, I'm here.
Would you please tell the court what that was, what the honor was, please?
Okay, yes. So my team this year received a data quality award for our court systems. It was received from the Administrative Office of the Supreme Court. So there were 12 awards that went out this year across the state, and we received one for Faulkner County for data quality. And what we did, we invested in a software program a few years ago called Tableau, and it enables us to look at our court data. When things are filed into the court records, there are a lot of codes and different things that causes a case to open or to close, associations and different things. There's a lot of technical stuff there, but sometimes when different things don't happen in a case process, things can kind of linger, and that's what's kind of happened in the past. So we, in our downtime, have used that program, and we've worked on case cleanup, and we've been trying to go through those cases and identify any issues as to why one would not be closed out and try to get that data cleaned up. So that's what that award was from, and Faulkner County is definitely standing out in the state of Arkansas, and we're really proud of that accomplishment.
Congratulations. Do I have a comment?
Thank you.
Job well done. Thank you. All right. Moving on. Next thing is old business. Please turn to tab 3.
Judge, are we going to do committee reports?
Yes, we are. Thank you. Standing committee reports, Peggy, Finance Committee? Yes?
The Budget and Finance Committee met last week. We have one ordinance for the court's consideration this afternoon.
Just a second.
Yes, sir. I've got a report for Courts of Public Safety, and I'm going to speak loud since I don't have a microphone. That's all right.
You have to, as long as you
want. No, I'm good.
Okay.
Courts of Public Safety met August the 11th. We finished up our updates on the animal control ordinance, and we're forwarding it to the court tonight in Ordinance 2020. We also reviewed the spay and neuter program, and we made a recommendation to continue funding that for the rest of the year, and we forwarded that to the Budget and Finance Committee, and Justice Pickett agreed to take that on. Also, Your Honor, on August the 14th, I attended the Arkansas Association of Quorum Courts board meeting, and it's a long meeting, but I'm just going to cover a couple of topics just real quick. First off, you know, there's been a lot of discussion here among court members regarding FOIA and, you know, us being held or the state being held at the same level as local elected officials are. And in this discussion, it's kind of an interesting thing that I learned that there's only one FOIA in the state of Arkansas, and we're all held accountable to it, both local elected officials, legislative officials, and the state. There is not one for the state and one for us. It's one. And we're all held accountable to the same thing. So, you know, it kind of raised an eyebrow with me because I've been led to believe that something was different because the state legislature in Little Rock conducts business a little different than we do. So we may just have to readdress that. But we brought that up as a potential legislative option, and it was killed because there's no change. Lastly, I'll just make a note that I was appointed to serve on the Arkansas Association of Counties Legislative Committee. That's all I have.
Justice Knight, Infrastructure Committee, you have a report?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
We met last week and we received the mid-year review from Mr. Ledbetter. He gave a report on all the culverts, bridges, roads that received asphalt, roads that received chip seal, and then the future plans for the rest of the year. We also discussed looking at the levee when it hopefully soon begins to be repaired permanently due to the flood from last year. And we'd like to actually take a trip out there as the Infrastructure Committee and to walk that and look at that and discuss everything that's, that goes into actually fixing that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just not I'll work with the levee board and we'll try to coordinate with them and your committee for a good time to come. Set that up. Okay. Justice Scoot?
No report, Your Honor.
No report personnel. Okay.
No, sir.
All right. Now back to old business. Turn to tab 3. Proposed ordinance, tax reallocation, and I don't have a number or anything, so I guess I need a vote to move this forward. So,
Your Honor, I make a motion that with whatever number Margaret gives us that we put on the table for discussion and then a vote for reallocating the sales and use tax.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. We'll put this on the table to for consideration for tax reallocation. And, Margaret, do you have a number?
We only got about 10 numbers, so I don't know which number y'all wants. So, Philip, are we starting all over with the numbers? Or?
I would give it a brand new number, yeah.
So, is this one different than the ones I sent out in the emails?
It is slightly different.
All right. So, 2024.
That's the ordinance number?
That'd be the ordinance number.
And then pending, if this is approved or not, we'll have a resolution as well, Your Honor.
Okay, but we'll take that up
yes, sir.
Next time.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're dealing with tab 3 right now, and the motion has been made and seconded for consideration of this proposed ordinance, and I'm going to ask the counselor to read the ordinance.
Ordinance is reallocating sales and use tax ordinance 20-24, sponsored by Justice Good. An ordinance providing for the reallocation of the 0.5% sales and use tax within Faulkner County, Arkansas, and prescribing other matters pertaining thereto. Whereas, according to the Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas, the county has determined there is a great need within the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office, and whereas the Faulkner County voters previously authorized a 0.5% sales and use tax pursuant to Title 26, Chapter 74, Subchapter 4 of the Arkansas Code of 1987 annotated, the authorizing legislation, and whereas the needs of Faulkner County have changed such that a reallocation of the county's sales and use tax is appropriate, now therefore be enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, Arkansas, Section 1. Under the authority of the authorizing legislation, there is hereby a continued levy of a 0.5% tax on gross receipts from the sale at retail within Faulkner County, all items which are subject to the Arkansas Gross Receipts Act of 1941 as amended, found at Arkansas Code Annotated 26-52-101, and the imposition of an excise or use tax on the storage, use, distribution, or other consumption within Faulkner County, tangible personal property subject to the Arkansas Compensating Tax Act of 1949 as amended, found in Arkansas Code Annotated 26-53-101, at a rate of 0.5% of the sales price of the property, or in the case of leases or rentals, of the lease or rental price collectively, the sales and use tax. Section 2, that the revenue generated from the aforementioned sales and use tax shall be distributed as follows: 60% to the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office for use in criminal justice matters, and 2.5% to fund personnel expenses to be used for animal control, and 35% to the Faulkner County Road Department, and 2.5% to fund operations necessary to continue the 911 emergency telephone service in Faulkner County. Section 3, that all ordinances and parts thereof in conflict herewith are hereby repealed to the extent of such conflict. Section 4, this ordinance shall be referred to the electors at the November 3rd, 2020 general election, which date is not less than 60 days and not more than 90 days after the final passage of this ordinance. Furthermore, this ordinance shall not take effect until an election is held on the question of reallocating sales and use tax. The majority of the electors voting on the question shall have approved the reallocation of the revenue from the sales and use tax. If a majority of electors approve the reallocation and the approval is certified by the Faulkner County Election Commission pursuant to Code 26-74-208B3, beginning January 1st, 2021, all revenues collected from that point forward shall be distributed according to this ordinance.
You've heard Ordinance 20-24 read. Floor is now open for discussion. And all, Mr. Gouda, it's your proposal.
Very good. Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate just an opportunity to visit about this with the court before we enter into some more discussion. I want to talk about a couple of things.
Go ahead, speak up.
How's that? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Turner. I appreciate the court giving me the opportunity to talk about this before we enter into discussion. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago where the purpose of the meeting was to discuss a funding source to take care of the COPS grants that we know we're going to have to fund, also to take care of additional 10 deputies in the event that the new jail is being built, also to take care of some basic needs that the Sheriff's Department has now that they're not able to fund. They've got computers that are old. They've got operating systems that are worn out. There are vehicle upgrades that need to happen. And quite frankly, there is not a funding source that we came up with that night. The discussion was open that night for anybody to come up with something different or better, and we didn't get anywhere. Since then, I've heard a lot about some fines, some court fines and fees that are owed, and how that's just this magical pot of money that's sitting out there waiting for the sheriff to go collect. So I did a little research, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. There's approximately $19 million in jail fines and fees sitting out there today that are non-collected. It's a big number. That number's up about $5 million since the sheriff took over in 2017. Now, part of that number is restitution. That restitution cannot be collected and given to county general. So, you know, I've heard everywhere from sheriff can get 75% of that money all the way down to, after Councilor Murphy and Treasurer Sanson looked at it, kind of a ballpark number seems to be about 12%. But 12% of what? 12% of the 15 million, 12% of the rolling number annually, whatever. So in 2019, there was legislation passed at the state level where there could be a debt set off. And basically what would happen if you owed a fine or a fee to a county and we turned your name in to the state and you got a state tax refund, we could get your tax refund. The county could do that. So I've had some complaints that, you know, well, why hadn't the sheriff started doing that? Well, you know, we've had a little deal called COVID that came up. That did pass in the 19th session, and they also had a death in the sheriff's office of the person who was handling this, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? So you take the two of those things into consideration. That's why we're not there as a county. Did a little further research. Quite frankly, of the 75 counties, there are only 3 counties that are currently participating in a pilot program. And there's a company that's helping them work through that pilot program. And I cannot remember the name of the company. 3 counties that are participating in it right now are Miller County, which is basically the Texarkana area, Poinsett County, which is the great city of Harrisburg and Wiener, and Craighead County, Jonesboro. Okay? So if we do a little, you know, how are we going to compare to those? Well, Miller County is a Class 5 county. Poinsett's probably a 3, it might be a 4, and Craighead is a 6, which is comparable to us. So far in this pilot year, Craighead County, the Class 6 county, has collected the most. Through 7 months, Craighead County has collected $62,000. We made some calls, and basically the company that's helping the state run this program said you will collect about 10%. Well, 10% of what? Well, 10% of basically what's turned back. Now, once you collect that, not all of that goes to the sheriff's department. Okay? So let's talk real quick about, we're just going to call him John Doe. John Doe gets a fine. He's arrested. He's now a defendant. He goes through court. He has $100 court costs. Guess who gets that $100? The courts. It's called court costs. They get the entire $100. The next thing is there's a booking admin fee. It's $40. The state gets 10% of that. The state gets $40, or $4 of that $40. The county gets the other $36. And it's budgeted to the sheriff's office. But folks, that money's already budgeted. That's not going to be new money when we collect that. That's just going to be them getting the 90% that they're already owed. There's a drug crime assessment fee. It's $125. The state gets all $125. It doesn't matter how much the sheriff's office collects, they're not getting any of that drug crime assessment fee. If it's a first-time defendant, there is a DNA sample fee. It's $250. Guess who gets all that? The state. There's no way that the sheriff's office is going to get anything if we collect there. If it's a crime against a child, there is another fee. It's a $25 fee, and it's basically a children's advocacy court fee, I think. The state gets all $25 of that. There's a $100 public defender user fee and a $150 public defender attorney fee. Well, it kind of goes to reason who's going to get that $250. The public defender. Finally, there's an others fee. Of that others fee, there's several different miscellaneous ones, but the one that seems to be the most common is a warrants fee, or a sheriff's miscellaneous warrants fee. Of that, again, 75% of that goes to county general, and 25% goes to the sheriff. Now, Angie, you might help me a little bit. I don't think I skipped any, but that's pretty much the fees that this $19 million is made up of. So if we collected all $19 million of them, we're going to get 90% of the booking fee. Well, first off, we're not going to collect all $19 million because about $4 million of it's restitution. That's going to go to the folks that it's owed to. But there's a track record already in place. And the track record, and it's new, this is a new law, and it looks like, according to the data set-off company that's helping, or the debt set-off company that's helping, that it's going to be a 10% collection fee. Well, of that, the sheriff's not going to get that whole 10%. I've just gone through the list of everybody that's going to get their cut of the pie. So for people that have talked about, well, there's this huge pot of money, all the sheriff's got to do is go out there and collect it, and then they take care of their problems. That's simply, if I understand it correct, not the case. Let me tell you this. Let's just say John Q or John Doe owes $10,000 and he's paying $50 a month. That $10,000 is a part of that $15 million. And he's paying $50 a month. He's in compliance. We can't get any more out of him. We can't make him pay any more. If he's meeting the $50 required minimum, he's making all that he's paying all that he has to. If a defendant is incarcerated and they owe a fine, that fine is suspended until they get out. And there's a time frame after they get out, and I can't remember that. What is it, Chris or Andy?
Typically 30 days.
30 days, okay. As of, I think, last month, there are 991, I think that's the right number, inmates that are in state prisons that belong to Faulkner County. Well, those 991, and I don't know what the dollar fee is that's associated with them, but those 991, we're not getting a dime out of them, and they may owe 14 of the 15 million. And we're not going to get a dime out of them until 30 days after they step foot out of prison. I applaud the folks that went out and looked and said, hey, there's this big pot of money, and we can go get that, and that'll take care of the sheriff's problems. But getting 90% of a $40 fee, and I don't want to put you on the spot, average bookings in a year. Okay, so let's just round that up to 150, and let's say it's about 7,500 in a year time. So 7,500 in a year's time, that money is already budgeted. It's not going to be new money. That previous courts used to like to talk about what's not new money. Well, guess what? This is not going to be new revenue. That's already in the budgets.
I'm not going to agree with that.
Okay.
Statement.
Is it in your budget? Historical. So there's not going to just be this magic number just because we say it's going to be. I would think that there, anytime that you're doing budget, you're looking at history. You're seeing what's happened in the past. So, I would think that, as much as we want that money to come out of somewhere different, it can't come there. I've had several people call this week. I've had folks from some of the cities call. I've had folks from out in the county call. And each one of them, I've said, give me something different. Give me something different that we can take before the court. And there's no answer. When we look at our budget, and those of you that are on budget finance, and those of you that keep up with it, there is not a pot of money sitting out there that we're not using. If you look at the historical turn back, that county road sales tax has turned back. It's not this $1 million, million and a half, if we move it all, is not going to take all of that money that has historically been turned back. Any questions on funding coming from anywhere else? And then I'll move on.
Justice Good, I have one question.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned Craighead County in the last 7 months had acquired, $62,000 from there.
Yes, sir.
This new pilot program. So is that $62,000 going directly into their general fund?
So there's a $25 per collection fee that the debt set-off company gets, Tyler, Justice Pearson, excuse me. And then beyond that, it goes to these funds that it belongs to, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that would be correct.
So it doesn't go into county general. It goes to where it goes to. Let's say John Doe pays his $1,000 fee that he owes. Well, the first $100 of that is his court costs. That doesn't go to county general. His booking fee that he finally pays, yes, the state would get 10% of that, and county general would get, or 90% of that would go to county general, already budgeted to the sheriff's office. And so it would go down and fill up all those numbers that we talked about just a few minutes ago. So it doesn't go into county general, no, sir.
Do you have any idea of what amount does for Craighead County?
No.
Did they give you that number?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any other questions or any other talk about a different funding source?
If you want to talk about other funding sources, I do have one question. It won't be for you, but if now's the appropriate time, I can ask it.
Jay?
Sure.
My question is for Sheriff Riles. Is the sheriff in the room?
Yes.
Hey, Sheriff. So it's been brought to my attention over the weekend that there may be another funding source, and I want to ask you about it. I believe it's called the... Facilities, Communication, and Equipment Fund. Are you familiar with this revenue stream?
I am not.
Okay. Well, you have a revenue stream on the books. It's called the Communication, Facilities, and Equipment Fund, and I believe there's over $240,000 in this fund. And the only thing your department seems to be using it for is to pay for cell phones. And that money can be transferred to county general, any amount. So just so everybody in the courtroom is aware, there is an additional pot of money that is there that is not being spent that can be turned over to county general. If you want to look into it, like I said, it's the Communications and Equipment Facilities Fund. I may have that a little bit off, but something of that stature. And I didn't bring this up at the special meeting because I was not aware of it. I was just made aware of it recently and looked into it. And it does appear that there's a substantial amount of money there that could be turned over to county general or spent on other needs for the sheriff's office related to communications equipment and facilities. And I find it concerning that the sheriff's not aware of the fund, that the fund was not used or offered up as a way to offset some of the costs that are being asked of out of county general. So I just want to bring that to the court's attention. I wanted to see if the sheriff was aware of the fund, and I have no further comment.
If I may, I'm not aware of that title of that fund. The fund is what we classified as called a radio fund. We specifically use that for upgrades on it because we survived out here in the county on our communication. And as everybody knows, the communication process, the equipment that we utilize is extremely expensive when you talk about radios in each car and things of that nature. So that is what that radio fund is there for in a crisis. It's a small buildup comparatively for the amount of the cost of what radios cost. Whether it's repeaters, tire sites, those type of things. And that is there specifically for the lifeline of our deputies out in the county. That's what that's used for.
And when is the last time that that you've purchased, you know, large amounts of equipment out of this fund for communication devices and vehicles or whatever, beyond just cell phones? Because that's the only information that I've been able to find, is that you pay for cell phone bills with it.
Okay. I would like to add, we have utilized this funding source for emergency purposes throughout my tenure as the finance officer at the Sheriff's Office. We do report this fund on a monthly basis to the Treasurer's Office. It is not appropriated by the Quorum Court. It is strictly by legislation. The sheriff tells us what we can use this funding on. We get 25% of sheriff's fees is directed into that. We call this either the sheriff's fund or the radio fund. And legislation allows us to use it for certain purposes, and anything that the sheriff deems as not necessity for us to keep on these books, we can transfer to County General. To my knowledge, that has never taken place in this county, at least while I've been handling the books, for sure. And right now, we have a quote, I think, to purchase 13 radios that is going to cost $55,000 for just those 13 radios. Our balance, when I printed my report last, January 1st of this year to August 4th of this year, we had expenses total $66,657.04, and we collected $145,340.67 this year so far, as of August 4th. So okay, we are not spending as much as we are collecting. But the reason is, this is here for emergency purposes to upgrade our communication systems. We do pay for our employees' cell phone stipends out of this, which is a monthly reoccurring expense. Some of our other communication expenses, like ACIC transactions or background check transactions, multiple other expenses that could be put on criminal justice, sales tax, or even County General, are actually budgeted out of this to help take off some of those expenses out of those other funding areas. So this is utilized responsibly, and it is overseen by the sheriff. And Lake Audit also looks at this just as they do our other books.
One repeater out into the county can run close somewhere around the neighborhood of $100,000 if we have one go down. All of our communications in the north part of the county, let's say a repeater if it goes down. That's why we try to keep at least enough there to cover any type of technical issues that we may have that's unforeseen. And that's what I vision that purpose of that being there for.
And I'd like to add one thing, Tyler.
You're fine.
The other income into this fund is from the commissions from the inmate commissary. So that fluctuates, especially when we have an inmate population downturn, as we have right now. And sometimes it is very well income. It just fluctuates. It depends on how much they are purchasing. We have no control over how much they purchase.
Okay, so in the 8 months of this year, you said you spent $66,000, you've collected $145,000. That's correct?
Yes, and we're about to spend $55,000 for those 13 radios.
Right, about to spend $55,000. And the balance in that account is $240,000. Does that sound right?
It fluctuates between $225,000 to $250,000. Yes, sir.
Well, just back of the neck and math here, you know, $225,000. You have plans to spend $55,000 on the radios. You still got $170,000.
If I may, we also have an upgrade that we need to do to our records management system, WinSOMS, that we're waiting for the software company to come out with. We have been given an approximate total cost of that from anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 for that cost. In the past, I know before I became the finance officer, I know the radio fund bought our command center, from what I'm aware of. We keep command center, our mobile command center, the RV trailer that we pull. This is used for large purchases. transportation purposes, and very few reoccurring costs because it does fluctuate in revenue.
Okay, so just so I'm clear, like I said, $225,000, $250,000 fluctuating. You have a $55,000 purchase you need to make. You know, you spend $66,000 so far out of the $145,000 you've collected just for these 8 months. That sounds like it's actually generating a fair amount more, and the buildup may be slow in comparison to some other accounts, but to many others, that's not quite the slowest buildup to me. And I just find it, you know, difficult to swallow knowing that you've had this money available, and yet you have come before the Foreign Board to ask for even more out of county general funds when you could be using this money for what you say are your most critical and urgent priorities of staffing the county with more deputies. And I understand that it's important to have a rainy day fund and be able to fall back on that. I think we've had quite a bit of conversation about rainy day funds and the need for the county to have one of their own for similar reasons. And yet here we are discussing, you know, raiding that excess revenue, raiding that rainy day fund that the county uses in emergencies, that the county uses for large projects they don't necessarily plan for that may come about. And, you know, I just find it very concerning that the money is there, yet you've asked for more. And now you want to take the county's rainy day money away and hold on to yours.
If I may, there is a statute that is tied to this radio fund that establishes the radio fund and how the collection is taken into it and what it can be spent on. And it says...
I've read it. I understand. And the one line...
Well, I would like to say to the public, sir, that train operation staff operate, equip, repair, and replace existing communications equipment, purchase additional communications equipment, otherwise improve a communication facility or system for the Sheriff's Department, or purchase vehicles, weapons, or other equipment for the Sheriff's Department. At the discretion of the Sheriff, any funds not needed by the Sheriff...
Ms. Woolley, let me stop you. I've read the statute. I don't need it.
I was speaking for the rest of the people in the room and the people on YouTube, sir.
Okay, what's your point?
I want to be transparent with everyone. It was advised that we use this for anything we would like. And that is not what the law states.
Let me ask a question. Can the money be transferred to county general?
Anything in excess of what is needed for those purposes, yes, sir.
Okay. That's my point. That's the point I'm making.
At the discretion of the sheriff.
Yes, and that is the point that I'm making. I'm not saying that you're spending the money on things you shouldn't be. I'm not saying that, you know, you should be spending money out of this account on the things that you want now. I'm saying that you're asking for money out of county general when you have excess revenues available to fund some of these things, and you're not offering that up in any way whatsoever to help support some of these things. And I just find that concerning, and I want to make that point to the court. I'm not here to, you know, tell you anything beyond that. That's the only point I'm trying to make. That is the only questions I'm trying to get at.
Chris, you had a comment.
I just said I haven't read the statute, so I appreciate Ms. Woolley doing that, and I'm sorry that Mr. Pearson interrupted her, so I couldn't hear all of it.
Thank you.
If I may have one thing, as a sheriff, I think that it would be completely irresponsible for a sheriff or anybody in this leadership, in this role, to forfeit a lifeline of the what little bit of finance, little bit that we ever had, that we ever have had, that we forfeit that and open up an opportunity for a major malfunction happen and then let's not have the $100,000 that's needed to replace a repeater. Or a repeater go down and we don't have the funding right now and we got to go before the court to get the money when our deputies are out here working on a daily basis without communication. I'm not willing to take that chance of something like that to happen. I just think it's good management to always have that funding there. If it was a buildup of an abundance that would cover way more than anything we would ever need, I can completely understand what you're saying. But it is not that.
Well, thank you, Sheriff, for your comment. I certainly appreciate your perspective. I think it'll be interesting to consider what you just said when, you know, like we are looking at taking that exact same kind of money, that rainy day fund, that emergency money from the rest of the county. Yield the floor.
Thank you.
Other discussion? No, all right, the floor is back to you. Justice.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate Justice Pearson's comments. Obviously, that little bit of money was not going to meet the need that is here. So, with that being said, if there's no other discussion on any types of additional funding, and I wish we could take $145,000 and turn it into a million, but I don't see that happening. With that being said, if there's no other discussion, I'll continue on. Last night at 6 o'clock, or approximately, I got a call from our county attorney, and that's not ever anything you want to get when you're working on ordinances and resolutions to do something for the county. And he had a little bit of concern. I want to be very transparent with the court about that. I think his comment was that he wanted somebody to check his work, so he reached out to an attorney at the Friday firm, Ryan Bowman, who is a tax expert, and Ryan had some concerns about the ordinance and the resolution that we have. One of those I think we fixed today, and Councilor Murphy, you step in and correct me anytime if I'm wrong here, because I don't want to misspeak.
Let me ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Reached out to who?
The Friday firm.
Okay. All right.
Yes, sir. And again, Councilor Murphy, if I get off track here, you hit me in the back of the head and bring me back in. Basically, I think there were a couple concerns. The first concern was that our original ordinance referenced subchapter 4 of Title 26, Chapter 74, which is the legislation that it talks about sales tax. Excuse me, it referenced subchapter 2. The vote on this, when it happened in 1999, referenced subchapter 4. So basically, we were trying to substitute one subchapter of sales tax language in place of the one that's on the book. That correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think we've got that fixed today, correct?
We need to make one revision. As I was reading through, I noticed in Section 4 there's a reference to ACA 2674-208B3. That needs to be deleted because 208 would be subchapter 2.
Okay.
Other than that, I do think everything has been corrected.
Okay. So we'll make a note to amend that once we get to that point. The second concern that the counselor has after talking to him last night is some timing. And again, Councilor Murphy, you correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, we did not put an emergency clause with this. So therefore, in effect, we may need to read this three times. Now, we can waive that reading. This court has done that before. Or we can come back and read it at two subsequent meetings. Regardless, the ordinance can or cannot be passed tonight, and the resolution can still be passed to get this on the ballot. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I think as a court, we need to discuss, you know, do we want to waive the reading? If we do, that takes a two-thirds vote to waive the reading, and or calling this an emergency takes a two-thirds vote. So either way, that's where we are. Whereas just the ordinance of reallocation and the resolution only take a 60% vote. So again, wanting to be fully transparent with the court, you know, that's where we are. I don't know what we need to do. Do we need to run it as an emergency? If we do, then it takes over 2/3 vote, or do we need to waive the readings? And that takes a 2/3 vote. I think either way, we're looking at a different vote than I originally thought that we would have. Justice LaHosta.
Judge, I have a procedural question for the counselor. Would you motion to waive the second and third reading after you've read it once and it's been voted on, and then motion to waive the second and third reading?
I think the proper form is, as you indicated, is to read through it and then make a motion to waive the second, read only by title, and then make a motion to waive the third. I know that sounds kind of odd to do it that way, but I'm not sure we've done it that way in the past, but the proper way is to have a reading, then make the motion.
So we've already had the reading.
Correct.
Now, we just need a motion to waive the second and third reading. Then it would be discussed and voted upon.
That's correct.
And that's not necessarily a vote for the ordinance. That's just voting to waive the second and third reading. Then the ordinance itself would be voted on.
That's right. And I know this is confusing, but to waive the second or third reading requires 9 votes. To pass the ordinance is only a majority. So it's a little bit odd. Not only that, but once we get to the referendum, we have a whole different number to use. So just keeping our math straight, 2/3 to waive the readings.
And the reason, you know, again, wanting to be fully transparent with the Quorum Court is I've been made aware that there will be a group that will potentially sue if this passes to have this removed from the ballot, to basically take it out of the people's hands. And so I want us as a court, through the advice of our attorney, to dot every I and cross every T so that if or when this lawsuit comes, that there is nothing that we've done as a court that takes this out of the people's hands.
Justice Good?
Yes, sir.
You might expel on that a little bit? I mean, I guess I'm confused on if we're following legal procedures. Why would that happen? Or potentially happen?
If I may, Justice Good?
Yes, sir. Please.
Ballot issues are extremely sensitive. I spoke with someone the other day, and I said it's about like riding a unicycle through a minefield while balancing a chair on your chin. Like, these are extremely difficult issues, and unfortunately, however you want to look at it, courts routinely will throw out ballot issues because either they're not worded properly, the timing wasn't correct. We see even on a state level that's happening with many of the petitions that were statewide petitions that have been basically disqualified. So ballot issues are very delicate. I don't know if somebody will file a lawsuit. However, I think you and I can agree there are a lot of emotions involved in this decision, and there's a lot of money involved in this decision. Because of that, I have to view everything as a possible litigation issue. And so this is a huge possible litigation issue, huge in the sense that it is very delicate. And as such, I have talked with Justice Good and we spent a lot of time just trying to make sure we're doing everything that to the best of our ability to make sure that it can get to the people.
So when you talk, Justice Good, can I ask another question?
Yes, sir.
When you talk about timing, are you talking about fitting it in with that a lot of times we have to pass this or get it on file?
Yes, and that's another tricky part too, because essentially in a perfect world, everything would be passed this evening, and I say in a perfect world. Whatever decision is made would be made. However, that doesn't always happen. Now, when we get to the referendum, that part, the resolution for the referendum, if it passes, I don't think there's any real difficulty having that. The problem is you really have two pieces of legislation here, and so it gets very confusing, I know, in having the levying ordinance and then the resolution that calls for the special election. In this particular case, in a perfect world, everything would be passed on the same evening, but it's possible that we might have to divide it up a little bit.
And he says that's possible. I do think that that's why we want to talk about either an emergency or waiving the second, third readings. And then let me throw you something else out here. And you know, Judge, I gave you accolades 2 weeks ago. I don't think anything what I've said about how you've handled the roads changes that. But quite frankly, you know, the judge has the opportunity to veto the ordinance. He cannot veto the referendum. State law says he cannot veto that. So then we would, you know, we need to consider, you know, at again, full transparency, is there a vote that overrides that veto? So there's a lot to think about here. You know, we don't have the ability to talk about this outside of here. And so, you know, you're all hearing this for the first time. You know, Phil, Councilor Murphy and I talked about it last night. And let me say this. He has done a good job of guiding me through this. He is in a difficult position. You know, he represents the court and he represents the judge. And that puts him at some maybe at odds with himself. You know, we talked about putting this in the prosecutor's office at one time just to eliminate a problem like this. That discussion's not for tonight. I will say, though, that he's done a good job, I think, of guiding me through this to the best of his ability. And I appreciate that very much. I don't think I got upset with him but one time. So, but that's where we are. You know, somebody said that this is going to be a passionate issue. You know, it is. There have been calls made for this. There have been calls made against this. There have been employers called. There have been elected officials. And I appreciate all you mayors being here again tonight, taking time out of your day. I know that this funding is important to you. But quite frankly, the funding doesn't go away. It just has to be managed differently. Other discussion? Justice Boyd.
Good. Are we going to discuss any other parts of the ordinance before we vote?
Sure, I'm open to full discussion. Yes, sir, absolutely.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you, sir. If I may.
Yes, sir.
Section 2?
Yes.
Paragraph 2 or subparagraph 2, whatever, number 2?
Yes.
2.5% to fund personnel expenses to be used for animal control.
Yes, sir.
Do we have a fund for personnel expenses?
We do not currently. We would set one up, or the future courts would have to set one up in a budgeting process. And so I'll address that while we're here. Scott may throw something at me. I'm going to use even numbers as we talk about this tonight, and I know we're not quite to $10 million, but we're sure going to scare it to death real if we don't get there this year on this tax that's collected. So I've tried to think about this for over 2 weeks, and I've thrown different numbers at the counselor, and I've thought about it, and I've you know, listened to people as they've called. You know, if this court will think back, we've had two different groups consistently talk about a funding issue to us. One being the Sheriff's Department, and one being the animal folks, the folks that want an animal shelter. And quite frankly, we've got the money to fund the facility. We don't have the money to fund the personnel. I don't know how many of you remember, but earlier this year, though, we all of a sudden heard about another issue that's coming at us, and that's a upgrade to the 911 system that's coming. And so Sheila talked about, and if memory serves, I think it was $1 million. You know, the upgrade had the potential of costing $1 million. I didn't think about that two Tuesday nights ago. I didn't think about it last Tuesday night. I actually thought about that yesterday as I was driving a tractor. Tractor time, you can get good, clear thoughts sometimes. So that's why I included that. You know, the 60%, moving that to the sheriff, that creates a million dollar swing for him. It gives him $1 million more. Again, we're using even money, and it's not going to quite be that, Scott will tell you, but I'm going to try to use even math because I can understand that. They basically have told us that in year four, that COPS grant is going to cost how much, Angie?
$325,000.
Okay. And then the new jail with additional 10 jail staff is going to be how much?
I believe it was around
Okay. And then upgrades that are needed that are outside of the radio fund are there as well. You know, here's the reality. And again, all respect to Judge Baker, Judge Dodson before him, Judge Scroggin. That's as far back as I go. We have lived with a penthouse budget for our roads department for years, while our sheriff lived with an outhouse budget. And the reality is, I don't expect a penthouse budget for the sheriff, but I'd sure like for him to be in the same hotel. You know, just give them something that they don't have to starve themselves over. So that's where the funding breakdown came from.
Yeah, I also talked with Treasurer Sampson, and we're talking about roughly $250,000. Round numbers, I'm agreeable with that. What I'm concerned about is I've already received calls because of things that's happened in social media about we're going to build an animal shelter and we're going to have it fully funded. That's what this is implying right now. How do I rebut that or any other JP that gets a call about that? And what happens to this until this money is put into a fund? Where does it accumulate? Does it accumulate in the existing animal fund?
I think that's why I put personnel in here, so that it doesn't accumulate in the existing animal fund. I think, Justice Higgins, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the existing animal fund is for infrastructure, is for a building, for the most part. We've never determined, but I think that's been pretty much the thought process.
I don't think that it's limited by the existing fund. It's for animal control and shelter.
Okay.
So it can go anywhere, but follow up on that, I do have to follow up on Justice Boyer. When it says to fund personnel expenses for debate, I would wonder or suggest if we wouldn't change that to operational expenses or personnel and operations. Because I'm concerned that if we have personnel expenses, and let's say that we need to buy a tool for an animal control officer to buy, and we can't purchase that because it's not a personnel expense. Personnel expense. You have to think, we're going to be, if this were to pass, there's going to be people later on that are not on the court now looking at this, and they're going to interpret this as we can only spend this for personnel expenses.
I'm open to suggestions, and
so
that's a good one.
If there's not a reason, I would add either change the word personnel to operational expenses or put operational and or personnel expenses, and I don't know how that impacts Treasurer Sampson and that. I don't want to limit us to just personnel there.
Yes, sir. And here's the hope, you know, I don't think this is a discussion for tonight, but one of the things that we've been consistently told by the animal shelter, animal control folks is that, you know, their hope is that we would partner with the city. And so here is our commitment finally to pushing in our part of the funding and the operation. You know, we've got the part that we can do something with the building. We've had that. But this now finally gives us something where we can maybe go to the city and say, hey, would you like to partner? And, you know, here's our skin in the game.
I have a real quick question on this.
Yes, sir.
Are you, in this, are you saying having two different funds for animal control?
I would think that yes.
Okay. That's the way
and
I read
again,
it.
I can,
way I read it. I just made.
Yeah, I would say yes, but I could be talked. I'm not going to die on that hill if it doesn't need to be.
The way it reads, I would think it would need to be two different funds because this is specifically saying for operational expense and there'd be no capital outlay in it.
Yes.
So that's the way I read that, and I just want to make sure that we're on the same understanding.
Yes, sir.
By common consent, are you changing the word personnel to operational?
I would take that amendment.
I'm not making them. I'm just saying common consent.
Sure.
I'm about to write it in right now. Is that right, Counselor?
Your Honor, I would ask if we can do this formally, and that way a motion can be made to amend the ordinance to include the words and operational after the term personnel, and then we can take a vote on that and then move forward.
I would make that motion.
Could you also include the ACA 26.74.208 section B /3
That's right.
In there as well.
So that we would
both those birds with one stone.
They would delete the words in section 4 in the last sentence, pursuant to ACA 2674-208B3. So it would delete that term as well.
Yes, I would make that motion to include both of those items as an amendment.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. If I can repeat. Start after personnel, but operational and operational expenses. And then delete the reference to ACA 2674-208B3. Is that right? All right. Floor is open. Discussion on the amendment.
You know, Your Honor, I guess the only comment that I would make is, I mean, it's still to be seen whether this is going to pass or not. But I think it's appropriate that should it pass, we want to make sure that we have, you know, the best ordinance that we can.
Absolutely.
Floor is still open for discussion on the amendment. Anybody? I can't see behind it, so please hold. Madam Secretary, on the amendment, I believe just call the roll.
Judge, can we have the counselor clarify what we're going to be voting on for the amendment just for...
Sure. This amendment would change Section 2, Paragraph 2, to read 2.5% to fund personnel and operational expenses to be used for animal control. We would also amend Section 4 in the very last sentence, which would say, if majority of electors approve the reallocation and the approval is certified by the Faulkner County Election Commission, beginning January 1st, 2021, all revenues collected from the point forward shall be distributed according to this ordinance.
Thank you, Councilor.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Yes.
I have one. Do we need to include that we're going to set up a fund? Do we need to include that on this?
I want to defer to counsel on that. Not for me, because if this fund is specifically saying operational expenses, we don't have another fund that says operational expenses only for animal control at this point.
Okay.
It's not narrowed that much as this is.
So on Section 2, Item 4, with the 911, 2.5% to the operations, my concern there, I mean, we all know we need money for that. We're not sure what and how much the cell phone usage is going to bring in. So I'm just wondering if we should not add some sort of clause on there that would be turned back to, I mean, what if they get an overabundance of money?
Ms. Rowland, if I may, I think those are good points that deserve discussion. However, for this amendment, I would encourage us to stay focused on this one. We can have a vote, and then if Justice Good would allow, we can then bring up the issue of the 911 fund.
Good. Very good.
I see another hand. Did you have your hand?
Yes, sir. I was just going to ask. I know that when the original sales tax was passed, it set up two specific funds for the county road sales tax and then the criminal justice sales tax. So if we added two other departments, would they not also have their own sales tax funds set up for them for the purposes of tracking the sales tax money for their departments? So that way it is specific, just like ours. 3407 and 3402 is the county road.
I'm
going to
refer to
counselors.
I don't
worry about money being intertwined.
Yeah, I think the issue of whether we create a fund now is not required. Certainly, it could be something that's added, but not something that's necessary to be added. The issue of creating a fund is not usually one that's going to overturn an exaction case. An exaction case, which is a lawsuit to overturn any type of taxation issue, is going to go to where the money goes. So as long as we're not using, for instance, personnel and operational expenses for animal control on transformers or something, Christmas presents for kids, then we're still okay. So it's not so much a matter of putting the fund in this ordinance as it is, just make sure the money is not commingled with something that doesn't need to be.
Judge?
Yeah.
I do believe a few years ago that we changed the name of that criminal justice sales tax fund 3407 to just criminal justice fund to allow donations in there. So that's not just sales tax, that's other things.
Thanks, Scott.
So it could be commingled. These funds could be commingled with other funds as long as they're used for the same purpose. You could track them by a revenue series.
Other discussion? We'll vote on the amendment. All
in
favor, please Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll on the amendment?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
Abstain.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schott.
The amendment does pass. The floor is directed back to Justice Good.
So with that, Your Honor, I would go back to Justice Rowland's question on the 911. I have been told in Little Rock that that fund, that the change to that is not going to generate the funds necessary. Now, I could be wrong. I don't know that we know that. I'm just going off of the pressing need that Sheila seems to think that we're going to have coming for this. And is this an every 4-year deal or an every 5-year deal? Every 5 years, you know. And it seems to perpetually grow. The upgrade seems to perpetually grow. But this would, I think, certainly, if you set aside $250,000, she used the term, or the amount of $1 million. She thought that it would be around $1 million if memory serves. And so $250,000 annually should take care of that.
I think it's 5 years.
You're right. I think that's right. So anyway, that's my thinking on that, Justice Rowland. But again, I will be as flexible on this as the court would want me to be.
You're talking about the increase in 911 fees?
Yes, sir.
Yes, but they're out of date because those things are coming in a lot better than what we anticipated.
A lot better.
It's the part of the good news of this year, which is very little so far. But, yes, I've not made a new projection on that. I can give you the number here in just a second.
Okay, thank you.
And as Scott's looking that up, I believe what I recall is some of the increase was because of the cell phone prepaid cards that had not been calculated.
Well, they couldn't they didn't know how much. They couldn't hardly estimate the $10 or whatever it was on a cell phone card. They just didn't know. And so because of that is where the increase comes in. And that fund is 3020911. And the projected revenue, I don't have it broken out, but it's $800,000 of what projected revenue is in that. Now, that's got everything combined. Landlines, wireless, everything that they got. When we first heard it was going to be a double in revenue, and then it come back, well, it's going to be 60% in revenue, then it come back about 30% in revenue. So if this is off of my memory, I think I was pretty conservative in estimating these projections. I can rerun projections on them.
But in the past, before they enacted this, we brought in roughly $300,000, $350,000.
No, I believe it was probably closer to, you'll get me lying here because I just don't remember, but $500,000 or $600,000, I believe, was roughly where we were. As we talked about before, the landline revenue is just keeps on going down, and of course cell phones are going up. And then when they enacted this, of course you're going to get a huge bump because it's more of a percentage, plus the prepaid stuff that they didn't really know about.
Okay.
Until we look at this year and look back on it to project next year, I wouldn't make any projections right now on it. It's too late.
Judge Baker, I have another question for you, possibly. Y'all met with mayors and representatives from across the
only thing that we've done is looked at contracting it out. The 911 board is supporting contracting it out right now. It's kind of in some limbo because the state legislature passed this deal last year where they're fixing to give all of it to the counties. They're going to reduce the PSAP. We don't have any idea what by reducing what the state is paying for on the PSAPs, we don't know what the cost is going to be. But there's about five counties in the state of Arkansas that want to follow our lead on contracting the service out. I've resisted it so far till we have a better idea of what kind of responsibility we're going to have. I don't know.
You think it's just the option for contracting is just because a private company can do the service cheaper than what a county can do it? Like, is that what they're leaning towards?
One option would be we don't have to go through this upgrade scheme. Something like that.
Yeah.
If we go through a contract, they would assume, the contract would assume any upgrade.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
All right.
There's a lot of merit to it. The sheriff's on the 911 board, and you probably can speak to this better than I could. It falls with the 911 board, and then falls with the Mayor Conway and the county judge, whether we do or not. The biggest problem is what's the state going to require us to do, what I understand.
Thanks, Judge.
I have nothing else to add, but you're accurate with that. And we haven't had a meeting since the COVID. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Thank you, Judge.
I see a hand. That wasn't your hand. Anybody else? Just open the discussion.
My concerns on Section 2, line item 4, is, you know, there are some unknowns. Would it be appropriate, or could we, or would it be too messy? It may be too messy. That we put in there a second sentence that stated that Quorum Court could evaluate every 5 years. Any overage could be split among the other three funds or something like that. Because if we end up getting a lot of money and this just sits there, we've got to put this in front of the voters again.
Justice, Your Honor?
Somebody, yes.
I guess the question that I have, Justice Rowland, is I see your point. But it seems like that we could make other adjustments during budgeting season.
True. That very good. Yeah, good idea. Thank you.
I would also encourage all the justices to at least think about, there's nothing that's improper with adding that phrase, but if you add it on this ordinance, you're also going to add it on the referendum, which is going to go to the ballot. The more confusing that you make that ballot, the more likelihood that it will get overturned.
Right.
So if you're in favor of submitting a referendum to the people, you want to try and keep your language in the ordinance as concise as possible. And that's not to take away from anything you said. I would just encourage all the justices here that if you want to make a amendment, that it's made in such a way that it can be easily understood and is concise.
Well,
forgive
me, I did not even think about the other funds. And Justice Higgins has a very good point, so I'll put my argument to rest on that.
Judge, just for clarification, I believe there is $151,000 budgeted out of County General for 911 currently.
How much?
$151,000.
So if this generated
$151,200.
Yeah. So if this generated an excess, then County General could be reduced, to Justice Higgins' point, by that 151.
Does that include personnel, or is that just their operating budget?
Let me look in this budget book. Before. Budget book page 55. It looks like there's $85,700 in supplies, $50,500 in other services and charges, $15,000 in capital outlay, total $151,200. That's County General Fund 1,000, Department 500.
I think this OEM 911 budget, and y'all, Margaret or Judge, may correct me if I'm wrong, is more about 911 addressing than it is about calling 911. I know that sounds crazy, but like, I think it has more to do with the supplies and equipment. Is that, and the PSAP 911 budget is more towards 911, pick up the phone and call?
That'll be by them. Now, dispatchers are paid out of, I believe, 3407. Is that correct?
We have them paid out of 3407 and then some are County General as well, out of 0400.
Okay, some are out of 0400 and some are out of, okay.
Yes.
I know there's none paid out of.
But isn't their dispatcher paid out of the 911 or PSAP?
There's two dispatchers in the PSAP fund. They're specialized fund, not the OEM.
Yeah, they're specialized fund.
Yeah, not County General.
Right.
Any other questions, comments, discussion? Sheriff, you want to talk to that about what y'all talked about on contracting out, who the employees would be working for the contractor. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
They would leave.
They would actually be hired by the contractors to go to work for that third party. And that's where the dispatchers would be in the expand on that right now. It's been so long. I can't remember all the details.
Correct me, because I'm thinking one way and I'm hearing other figures, but if we even considered the contracting out, isn't it about $2 million a year to operate the 911?
Well, I hate to repeat numbers right now. Judge, honestly, it's been 6 months since we spoke about this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm hearing one figure and I thought it was round figures, maybe the cost each year right now was a little more than $2 million, and the contract would be saving maybe a little money, but it'd get us out of this upgrade every year. That's what we're talking about.
I think there was a savings by doing this. We thought it was going to be substantial. I think we found out it was going to be very minimal, but it was right there.
Yeah.
But it would take a lot of stress, a lot of relief off of us.
Is what they would be, they would leave county roads and go to work for the contract. Yes.
The sheriff's office.
They'd go to work for the contract.
Yes, you said
they'd leave county roads and go to work for the contract.
Not county roads, sheriff's office.
No, county roads. Roads, R-O-L-L-S.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. It's the mask.
County roads. they're presently on the county roads, and they would leave county role and become employees.
Yes, sir.
If I remember right, when we had to give our expense costs to PSAP, if I remember right, I think our expenses for the sheriff's office employees and expenses that we put in for office supplies, equipment, things like that was approximately anywhere from, I know this is a large range, but I remember it was somewhere between $500,000 and $600,000 that the sheriff's office budgets for those employees and the expenses. So if they were no longer our employees and were county employees, what I'm saying is that $250,000 or 2.5% could actually be utilized for it would help. I'm just trying to see, paint the big picture for everyone.
Please. I may lose one or two more.
I'll try not to misunderstand you, Judge.
I'm sorry, but
no, sir.
I was afraid to bother you.
Any other discussion on this?
Your Honor, I'd like to make a motion that we suspend the rules regarding the additional two regions.
Second. Motion been made and seconded to suspend the rules regarding the additional two regions. Is that an emergency clause or?
No, sir. There's no emergency clause with that motion.
Well, we're open for discussion on suspending the rules and not having to follow up two readings.
Your Honor, I have a question. Is there been any public comments, or will there be any availabilities for public comment on this ordinance tonight?
I'm not handling this, Justice Stevens.
Your Honor, I'll yield that to you.
All right, the motion on the floor is to suspend the rule of having three readings, the way I understand. That's where we're at now. Todd, I can't answer the question in public.
Okay.
I'd say none right now. I don't know of any, so I don't know. Councilman, correct me?
It's up to you whether you want to allow members of the public to speak, and I think Justice Pearson's comment is probably indicating that his vote depended on whether or not members were going to be allowed to speak this evening or not.
Your Honor, I don't think my motion has any impact one way or the other about additional debate.
Okay. Discussion on this suspending the rule.
Your Honor, this is Justice Knight.
Yes, Justice Knight.
I'd like to explain why I abstained earlier and why I will abstain further tonight due to a potential conflict of interest with family members who work for Rogers Group. I'm going to abstain from voting on the ordinance and resolutions tonight.
Thank you, Justice Knight. Thank you. Somebody got a hand up somewhere. Right back here.
What exactly are we voting on right now? I want to explain what that is.
The way I understand, we're voting normally to pass this ordinance, you would have three readings, and the amendment right now is to not have three readings. The way I understand. Other discussion. Everybody understand what we're voting on? Margaret, call the roll.
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
Abstain.
Pearson.
No.
Pickett.
No.
Rowland.
Yes.
Schock.
Yes.
Amendment does pass. Three readings are not required. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Your Honor, I will yield the floor back to you at this time. I would like to close for my ordinance before we vote, but I will yield the floor back at you. I don't have anything else at this time, so I will yield it back to you for you to entertain discussion from the public.
Yeah. We have a motion on the floor, and seconded and amended twice, and all on ordinance 20-24. The floor is still open for any discussion on this ordinance, 20-24. We're going to have Andy, we're talking on this thing here, ain't going to be able to hear you.
Closer to that?
You're probably going to need that.
I want to bring this up here.
You're not going to read that, are you?
Yeah, and I might need some help.
If you're going to read that, I'm
going to sit up here where everybody can look and give some people some ideas.
Okay.
What that is the basic curriculum of the Arkansas Law Enforcement Training Academy, that's the police academy. Just be a basic student, basic police officer.
And you talk to him before they can, there's two that's not here.
Okay. Right here, fine.
We can hear you, Andy.
Okay. That's just a basic student's package to what they would get if they were to attend Alita. Looking at the budget book, and I've heard conflicting numbers here, a deputy in Fauquier County starts out at $36,608. A dispatcher who answers 911 calls, if your child is choking or you're having someone break into your home, they make $30,784. A sergeant on the street, who a shift commander, $40,768. Our nurse at the sheriff's office, as you can imagine, there's a lot of need for that, $36,608. An investigator, criminal investigator, $40,768 for a criminal investigator. Now, these are the people that if your loved one is murdered, these are the people who will be investigating your case, if your loved one. Again, those three folders are the basic packet for the 13-week police academy. And I think we owe a debt of gratitude to the people who serve us. Law enforcement, especially in today's time. They're fighting an uphill battle. And it is ironic to me that any vote that has come before this court has went straight down party lines. I don't want to delve off into politics. But what I see as a young deputy driving all these county roads in the late 90s and the early, 2000, the roads were in horrible condition. There were places, if it rained more than an inch or two, you had to get a tractor to get through there. Now our roads are in phenomenal shape. Now, a lot of that is due to Judge Baker. I will give him props. He has done a fantastic job with that. But something I want to echo to what Justice Good said earlier about the penthouse and the outhouse. Now, I mentioned all these folks, an area, and there are several people that I've left off, but another area that I didn't mention is a detention officer. These are the people who work in the jails. Has anybody ever toured our county jails? These are not the best people to work around. People that come to jail generally are not having a good day. Those folks make $28,652. That's not a lot, is it? Now let's compare. I would say apples to apples with apples and oranges. We got this straight out of the budget book. And let me preface this by saying we have county employees who do a phenomenal job, and I'm not trying to belittle them in any way, shape, or form. I respect the job that they do and appreciate them. And in today's society, if you pay a heavy equipment operator $41,600, you compare that to the salaries that I just mentioned, I think it's an insult to our law enforcement officers. And I think that shows a pattern that this court has had for a number of years, the pattern that I have known intimately since 2007. A regular equipment operator is $36,400. A truck driver is $41,600.
There's a job supervisor, too, that pays $51,000. I don't know who that person is. Job supervisor, $44,700. And a safety compliance coordinator, $45,760. Again, I'm not by any means saying that these folks aren't needed. But what I'm saying is if you compare their salaries to the salaries that we're, this horrible salaries that we're paying our heroes in law enforcement, it's sad. I am a little disappointed, to be honest with you, folks, about a conversation that I had with a gentleman who was one of the mayors that signed this ordinance or whatever you want to call it, a resolution, saying they're against this reallocation. I had a great conversation with him. He was a super good guy. I believe as honest as the day is long. But I called him because I just had some questions about who had approached him and what was said. And he told me that he was told that if this passed, the county would never be able to pave a road in any of the small cities again. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I would think that it's not true. Because last I checked, Naylor, Mount Vernon, Enola, all these areas are in the county.
I hadn't heard. That's new.
Well, this is a person that if I said his name, you'd know him. You'd know his entire family, and you'd know him being an extremely honest man. And it did not come from you, Judge. And you know it didn't, but it did not come from you. But it came from the camp.
Yeah, it might come from the camp, but I didn't know it didn't come.
Well, it's sad to me, and everybody knows my background, but it's sad to me that you've got all these folks lined up throwing up every roadblock possible, every roadblock imaginable to try to go against this ordinance. Now, we can have healthy discussion, but when there's a lot of money involved, that's when things get really complicated. And you got to think about what your motivation is. A lot of people's motivation is money. A lot of people's motivation is getting reelected. A lot of different motives. The only motive that I have is rewarding our law enforcement officers with what they have been deserving for a long time. For time's sake, I'm going to go ahead and yield the floor, but I appreciate
it. Thank you.
I'll
take the books back. Don't leave them right here.
I just leave them right there for now. That's fine.
All right. You may want to go to the police academy or something.
I was glad you didn't read them. Floor is still open for discussion on the ordinance 20-24.
Mayor Robinson, Judge.
I make an open-ended question, if I may, Your Honor.
Yes, go right ahead.
And anybody in favor of the ordinance, feel free to chime in, because I am curious. You know, I haven't heard a whole lot of discussion. You know, I've heard, to Justice Shock's point, I've heard quite a bit of discussion about the sheriff's office needs, right? You know, deputies are paid too low. We don't have enough deputies. And I agree with both of those points, 100%. The additional things, you know, further down the line about, you know, 10 new jail deputies and growing the size of the sheriff's office exponentially and potentially building a new jail, that's conversation for a different day for me. But for today, I agree with Justice Shock's point that the sheriff's office needs more deputies and that they need to be paid better. What I haven't heard from many folks is, why is this the right way to do it? Why is robbing the county's infrastructure funds, which, you know, isn't just about having a smooth road to drive on. You know, to me, it's about economic development. It's about public safety. It's about growth in our county. It's about so much more than just, well, I'm not going to get a flat tire anymore. So I haven't heard a lot of commentary about just what this will mean for Faulkner County. Just how much money is this that we're taking out? Because, you know, we all also have to consider, I feel like, that, you know, the governor is asking for an extension of his highway tax. And if he doesn't get it, what is that going to mean for roads money in Fort Hood County? Are we going to be missing out on even more? You know, so I just haven't heard anybody, you know, really say what this is going to mean for infrastructure for Fort Hood County. You know, there have been talk about $24 million surpluses, you know, at one point in time in the roads fund, and how, you know, but there was never really any talk about how we use that money. You know, not a lot about the tornadoes that happened in 2011, 2013, large economic expansion projects in partnership with the state. You know, I don't, like I said, I don't discredit many of the points Chris Strzok just made, and that the folks in support of this ordinance tonight are trying to fight for. You know, so it's not about party lines, it's not about partisanship, it's just about Fort County and its needs. And so I don't hear enough about what is this going to mean for Fort County? What is this going to do to our infrastructure? Are we going to go back to having to pull people out of roads with a tractor? Are we going to really, truly not be able to you know, pave roads in partnerships with some of the smaller municipalities in Fort Hood County so that they can continue to grow and provide good quality infrastructure for their citizens? I haven't heard anything about that. Not nearly enough. And especially when we're talking about, you know, potentially, by my very quick estimations, you know, this is at least $1 million a year. And I can't imagine that would not have a dramatic impact for Fort Hood County. I don't see how that would be a good thing to throw away our rainy day funds for emergencies to take care of large projects that we need when opportunities arise to help these smaller municipalities. You know, jobs and roads and infrastructure it's important. I ran and I campaigned on keeping and maintaining our infrastructure and economic development and having a strong, growing county. So, you know, everyone's talking about the needs of the sheriff's office, but no one's really talking about just what is this going to mean, because it is going to mean something. It is going to have an impact. There is a reason all those mayors signed on to those to that resolution. There's a reason that people in this county don't want to see this happen. So I'm just broaching that subject and asking for one final time if anybody can tell me, have they really looked into this? Have they thought about just what this will mean for the future of Fort Hood County?
I'll answer that. Yes, sir. Yes, I've looked into this, and I've looked into it time after time after time. Started looking into this in 2016. Matter of fact, we had a very similar ordinance to this passed, and because of I don't even know what to call it. We didn't have the resolution. Our former attorney did not let us know that we needed a resolution to go with the ordinance to ask for the special election. That gave a month for folks to have their minds changed, and we went from having, if I'm not mistaken, 9 votes for this to 8 votes for this.
Hey,
so it didn't get on.
Can you stop for Margaret?
Yes.
Can y'all pause for a moment?
Mm-hmm.